Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Welcome inside the HananiahAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. Phone lines open tonight, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, 1-800 in front of that if you're outside of the area. Hit us on Twitter, too, at JP Shadrick, at Tony Baselli. Tony is ready to answer some Twitter questions tonight.
Absolutely.
I know. Tony's and we'll get the phone as well. Yeah, Jeff, you don't have Twitter, so just call
me. Smoke screens.
I can put your number out there if you want.
Either drum chants or smoke signals.
Great. Lots to get to tonight. We'll pick a 53-man roster. It's July the 3rd. And we're 3 weeks away from training camp opening. Players report 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, we'll kind of pick it. I think we need to talk a little bit more philosophy and roster building because I think that is where this team is at now.
Okay, we'll get to that.
So you don't want to cut anyone right now?
Well, I mean, we can talk about, you know, guys to watch and guys that are going to be fighting for a spot. But I think the more interesting discussion is what will the numbers be, you know, for a team that is in year two of a rebuild? Because I think you react differently when you're rebuilding versus when you're getting ready to compete, you know, for a title.
We'll also look around the National Football League. Suspension afternoon in the NFL. A lot happening in Oakland and Buffalo, too. And we'll look around the AFC South as well. ESPN.com had a summer question for each writer in the AFC South. We'll go over those and see if you guys agree. All right, 21 days until training camp starts, so players report.
Unreal.
It's amazing it's this close, isn't it? And what if you're a player right now, guys? What are you doing?
Well, what I'm thinking right now is the heat index is like 105 and 110. And I'm thinking that I better get in the best shape of my life because when the pads go on, it's going to be an absolute steam box. You know, so to me, that's what you got to be thinking about. You know, and that's probably one of the hardest things to do because when you get away from here, is you have to work out on your own or you have to go somewhere to get that training to prepare for training camp. That's the most important thing at this time of year. And staying out of trouble.
That's right. Got to stay out of trouble, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd always, this time of year, I'd leave.
Why'd you look at me when you said that, by the way?
Because he knows I'm not going to get in trouble.
Because out of the three of us, you're the one that has a tendency to meander towards trouble.
Wow.
That's a bold statement.
Very bold.
I said
I'm not arguing.
I didn't say run directly bold. Towards it. I said meander.
There's a difference there. You're wandering that way.
Anyway, Tony.
But we're here to guide you back.
I'll follow your lead. Thank you.
I was saying this time of year, I'd always leave and take the whole family. We'd typically go to San Diego, get a place either on the beach or near the beach, and go work out there just to get away from still working out. Just as hard or harder, actually. I always felt as this was an important time to really because you went through OTAs and you were lifting, but it wasn't just the only thing you were doing. So you really a lot of conditioning, lifting, trying to get your body ready. And at the same time, I was trying to shut the mind off of trying to enjoy the last, you know, few weeks of time with the family, time not grinding away once the season starts, knowing that come training camp, especially back before the CBA changed the rules. Knowing that training camp was going to be a grind, like mentally, physically, it was going to be hard. Football is a tough physical sport. And I think even today, even with the CBA rules, the training camp is a mental exercise as much as anything. But the old days where you had double days and you were meeting until 10 o'clock at night and getting back up at 6:30 in the morning to get treatment and back on the football field, the mental aspect of that, at least for me, I needed that time away to kind of get myself ready for what was going to be a very long process to get to opening day.
And it's a little different now. I mean, Tom, you're referring to Tom Coughlin. That's what you knew.
Right.
You know, so in the way that it was back then, I mean, it was a mental grind. You know, and Tom wanted it to be a mental grind. He wanted to see who was going to be able to withstand that. So when times got tough and tense, he knew who he could count on. You know, it's a little different now. I mean, it's very different now. The physical grind is not so bad. The mental grind is not so bad.
Yeah, you leave early, you go home. I mean, you're out of here at 7 o'clock at night.
Basically a glorified walkthrough
yeah.
Is one practice, and then the second practice is a you know,
it's a tough practice.
Yeah. But then at night, you know, at certain times, you're done. You know, you have a certain number of days off. You know, it's and I think that's all for the for the betterment of the league. Now, I don't
I agree.
I don't like some of the off-season rules that prohibit coaches from going out on the field and working on something with an individual player. I think that's kind of crazy. But as far as the training camp rules and the mandatory days off, I think that is good.
No, I agree. I actually thought – I mean, I remember in the midst, after the first few years of doing training camp, thinking there's a diminishing return on camp. I mean, I did not think we needed – Jeff, I'm sure you felt the same way. I did
yeah, when
not,
you get to a certain point.
I didn't need two-a-days. I mean, one practice a day and a mental walkthrough and a meet and get out of there and actually be more rested and more prepared for the regular season mentally and physically would have been much better. So I'm all for the changes they made, making camp more about getting prepared for the season, and you're working all year out, so it's not – you should be physically in shape. But some of the other – I mean, Jeff alluded to it, and I think, I think it's crazy as well – only having 14 padded practices all season.
You know,
it makes no sense to me either.
It kind of reminds me when, you know, we talk about, you know, we talk about the old days. Yeah, we used to have to practice twice a day, and we were in full pads, you know, all that kind of stuff. I remember, you know, coming out of high school in Northern Virginia, a lot of, you know, guys went different ways. You know, some went to, you know, few went to a Virginia, not many, but some went to Virginia Tech, you know, James Madison, William & Mary. And I had some friends that went to a college called Shepherd, which was in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And I think I had three or four guys that I knew, you know, good friends of mine from high school that went there. And I want to say that the coach's name was Walt Barr or something. He had three-a-days.
Oh, yeah.
Three-a-days.
I mean, it's crazy. But
it's
insanity. And we always talk about, and Jeff's right, we talk about the old days. But even, I mean, I remember the first camp here was a six-week camp of two-a-days. It was a unbelievable. It was the craziest thing I've ever been through.
Five and a half for me.
Oh, five and a half. That's Jeff showed up at half.
You
week
showed late. Up a little late.
Well, actually, I got hurt. I had I got my knee scoped, so I rode the golf cart.
You had it like 3 days.
No, I was 10. Yeah. 10-day camp. But – and you talk about – and then it was – it modified to 5-4 and it kind of lessened each week. But even before we played, Jeff, heck, they used to do seven-week camps that they – with 100 guys that they had come in, and that's how they got
in shape. And that's key because, you know,
everything changes.
Back in the day, they had 100 guys. So, I mean, the number of reps that you had certainly lessened. But then also you didn't have the all-season training. I mean, a lot of guys had jobs in the
off-season, right.
So they would come to training camp to get in shape and lift weights. You know, in January and February and March, some guys were drinking beer, some guys were fishing, and some guys were working 9-to-5. You know, I mean, because the pay wasn't all that good.
Well, I don't think the drinking beer has ever stopped.
No. I don't think so either. Jaguars Thursday, JP
so
Shadrick.
Let's make the roster.
Jeff
let's go.
Loggeman, Tony Maselli.
GM Shadrick.
Let's start off with, like Jeff was saying earlier, philosophy of these position groups here and how many guys you keep. Obviously, you're going to keep the three specialists. That's three. You get you down to 50.
Yeah,
but you have to break that down somehow.
But you got to start with the philosophy. You know, you're in year two of a rebuild. You know, you're not trying to equate a roster for this year. You're trying to build a roster for 2015 and 2016 also. I mean, so I think that has to be in mind if you're the general manager, David Caldwell. Now, as a coach, you're going to go, I want the best guys that's going to give me the best chance to win. But you also have to be able to temper that. If you have a guy, for example, let's say you got an offensive line, okay, and you have eight candidates or seven candidates. Let's say seven. Let's say you got seven candidates that you feel really good about. Typically, you keep, eight offensive linemen? But let's say you've got a young guy that has shown promise as a defensive lineman, and you think that a year or two down the road that he's going to be able to be a major contributor. Well, if you're doing it for now, you're going to have eight offensive linemen and not worrying about maybe having an additional defensive lineman because you don't have time to wait. But I think this team's philosophy will be a little bit different. And I'm not speaking from a conversation that I had with anybody, but I think that's the way you have to think. You know, if you're building this roster and you're building for the long haul, you have to look down the road at the long haul to make decisions for now.
Yeah, it's in a little bit different way, but saying the same thing. Is I think as Dave and Gus evaluate players and cuts that will be made, you're not just evaluating what the player is today, but what you think he can become over the next 12 to 24 months, because that's what you're building for.
Perfect example, Ryan Davis, right? I mean, last year you've got a lot of defensive ends slash Leos that you kind of kept on the roster. Ryan Davis was a guy that you like, okay, we think he can develop into something. So if you were trying to make decisions for now, would Ryan Davis have gotten a roster spot in playtime last year? Probably not. You know, this year would probably be his coming out opportunity. But because you're building for the future, a young guy like that, that you feel has promise for the future, you're going to commit to him on your roster, knowing, or your belief is that he can be a major contributor down the road. You know, and that allows you to let a guy like a Jason Babin go, who is above 30, who is, what, $4 million a year or whatever it is. And in 2 years, what is he going to have left in the tank versus a young up-and-comer like a Ryan Davis? I mean, that's a perfect example of the decision that was made last year that I think you also are still going to make decisions like that this year.
Yeah, if you don't have Davis, you can't whack Babin and right. You know, that whole thing. That's forward-thinking a little bit. All right, humor me here, guys. Let's talk offense before we go to break.
You want a knock-knock joke or something?
No. Let's go through this offense position by position. Quarterbacks. Four quarterbacks on the roster right now. Henny, Bortles, Stanzi, Morris. Who stays?
You're going to keep two. You're going to keep Henny and Bortles, obviously, and I think you try to get Morris on the practice squad. It's a development guy.
That's an interesting conversation.
Yes, it is.
And I think it's the number one conversation, I think, going into training camp, is what is that number going to be? Is it going to be two or is it going to be three? If you're truly committed to allowing Blake Bortles to develop at his pace, then your number is three.
Because you have to have Stanzi or somebody to play in case
that's right.
Something happens to Henny.
I don't think that happens. I don't see a situation where if something happens to Henny, that Blake's not the guy.
Well, let me put it this way, okay? You go back to –
even if it's like week one or two?
You go back to David Garrard and Blaine Gabbert and I'm trying to think.
Luke McCown,
okay? So right before the season, you decide to cut David Garrard, okay? Coach decides he's not my guy. So you go in with Luke McCown, and he's going to be your guy. And he was pulled. He wasn't hurt. But then all of a sudden, Blaine comes in, doesn't have any success. So what happens if something happens to a Chad Henne and you have to play Blake Bortles right away and he's not ready? I mean, is that a decision that you could say, okay, when something happens to Chad, we can pull Ricky Stanzi back in off the street? See, that's the kind of thought process as a general manager you're going to have to think about. Will he be available if we have to have him in a pinch?
It's a fair conversation. And maybe I'm forgetting what it was like when Blaine was a rookie, but I get the sense from a mental – forget skill. I mean
– Let me ask
the
you.
Mental makeup of Blake Bortles is so different than
– But let me ask you
than,
this.
Than the other guy.
The most important question.
What's his name again? Gabbert. I forgot.
What's his name? Has Blake Bortles –
I just forgot. I like Blaine.
– shown you that he would be ready – in case
no.
something happened to Chad Henne so
well,
far.
But not,
so then you have to
early.
Have somebody else. Then.
That's my point.
Yeah. All right. I just don't think they will. I think they'll keep two and Morris.
And I'm not saying he's not going to be ready. I'm just saying is that from what we've seen so far, he needs time.
For the sake of argument, we'll put down two quarterbacks for right now. And we'll come back with a possibility.
Well, I had
three.
A vote for three. What are you overruling me? Tony says two. I say three.
So we can
you're
move
saying
along.
You're siding with him.
We'll go two and a half. We'll go two and a half.
Two and a
don't
half.
Be scared of him.
A few
just
minutes
put
left
three
in this
down,
segment.
The reality is they kept three last year.
Okay. Three. Three it is. Three?
I think
you happy, Jeff?
I'm happy.
Yeah, Jeff makes the point. They kept three last year with Blaine.
All right. Henny, Bortles, Stanzi, stay. Morris to the practice squad. All right. Wide receivers. Cecil Shorts.
Going to keep five.
Lock.
Robinson.
Rock.
Lock.
Lee.
Lock.
Lock.
Sanders.
No. Lock.
No.
Uh-oh. Yeah. That's where we differ a little bit. At least you two guys.
I don't think it's a lock.
I don't think he's a lock, but he's going to make it.
He's got to be able to, and this is why he's not a lock, I don't think, is because the two young guys, the free agents, one of those guys, they love both of them. Hearns and what's the other
Damian
one?
Damian Copeland.
Copeland.
Copeland just kind of was just okay.
But they like both of them, the size, the speed.
Obviously like missing them.
I could see one of them making it. And listen.
Now, if one of them make it, here's the thing.
Don't kick Mike Brown out. Mike Brown can play every position.
Now, here's the interesting thing in that conversation, okay? You look at your lock, which is Cecil Shorts, okay?
Well, the two draft picks.
And then your two draft picks. Okay, that's three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then let's say Ace Sanders makes it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's four guys right now, and three of those four are two rookies, and one in his second year. Now, you're going to keep five, right, maybe six wide receivers. If you're looking at that fifth spot, are you really comfortable committing to a guy like Hearns, an undrafted rookie, to add to that very, very young group? Or are you going to say, hey, look, we're so young, we've got to have somebody that we know we can count on, like a Mike Brown?
But don't forget the interesting conversation.
And then you got to also take this into account. The most important answer to the question that you need to ask, if the guy ends up on practice squad, will we still be able to keep him? Because that's always the answer, is finding a way to keep the guys that you want.
Let me ask you this way. See, I think Ace has to improve his punt returning skills because that's what they drafted him to be mainly, and then a fourth or fifth wide receiver. And so if he does that, I could see them keeping five or six because he's your punt return guy. That's what he's on the squad to do.
Yeah, take that part off the table, I should say.
Who's a better receiver, or who was a better receiver at the end of the year, Mike Brown or Ace Sanders? Mike Brown was a better wide receiver.
Yeah, but you had packages for Ace.
I'm not saying you didn't.
I mean, that's the interesting thing there. I mean, you're talking about a good, solid, dependable guy versus a guy that you're creating packages for.
I think he'll make the team. I'm just saying I don't think it's a lock.
The question, I think, is going to come down to, is it Hearns, who has more upside? And see, that goes back to that decision-making process 2-3 years down the road.
A year or two out.
Who's got more upside, Hearns or Mike Brown? I think we've probably – I don't want to say we've seen the ceiling of Mike Brown, but he's somewhat limited with speed and quickness.
But he's invaluable.
And I'm not saying Hearns is quick and fast. I'm just saying is that he's got a little bit more size, a little bit more speed.
The mental side of Mike Brown, though, is very, very valuable.
Totally agree. That's going to be a tough debate.
So for now, three quarterbacks, five wide receivers, we'll say. That's eight.
Okay.
Tight ends, two or three? Real quickly.
Three.
Yeah, I agree.
Lewis Harbor and then maybe one of the new guys, Jensen.
That new guy, they like that. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, Marcel Jensen. Maybe Jensen.
Okay.
But if it's not a Jensen, it could be somebody that they could acquire at some point, waiver wire or whatever.
Running backs.
Like they did with Clay Harbor.
Keep four running backs, right? Gerhardt, Todman.
Well, Foe is a lock. Gerhardt's a lock.
I think you're going to keep five with Foe, probably.
Todman will make it, and then Storm Johnson will make it.
Denard Robinson in there?
And then Denard Robinson. So that could be five.
I think they do keep five backs.
Five.
Okay.
Make it
We're going to run out of roster spots here.
O-line. Okay. You said earlier O-line with eight offensive linemen. So it's 8 plus 5. It's 13 plus 3 is 16, 21. That's 24.
That works.
Yes.
That works.
That'll leave you 26 on defense.
You may keep nine offensive linemen.
Let's just say 8 for right now, just to give us a little buffer. We always come back. The offensive linemen are going to be Jokel, Pazdor, Beatles, Linder.
Brewster,
Buenco. McClendon.
Okay.
And is that seven?
That's seven, yes.
And then Cam Bradfield.
But here's where you get interested.
If you keep nine, you keep the James Madison kid.
That's the conversation. See? Now
you're getting to Jeff's heart.
Versus the 2 or 3 years down the road.
No, I agree with that. But I don't know. I mean, Cam's too valuable because he can play both.
That's where you could be nine.
So we'll go with nine.
Yeah, but at least it's only 25.
Even 25, and we'll get to the defense.
There's too many defensive linemen to do that, I'm telling you right now.
When we come back. Go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jags. Ford, go further. When we return, we'll talk about defense. 25 positions, 25 players left for the final 53. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
We're back. Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. You'll get caught up on all the latest Jags news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. Also on Jaguars.com this week, caravan recaps, another Roar calendar shoot behind the scenes video from the British Virgin Islands. Tony perked up there. And Rookie 101 continues with Allen Robinson. That's all this week on Jaguars.com. Check it out. Now, phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. We've got 25 offensive players on this roster of 53, the three specialists. That's 28. So there's 25 spots left on this team, guys.
And I think you're going to end up having 26 defense. I think you only keep eight offensive linemen, but we'll keep it at 25 for right now. But we have to have that play right there.
This is okay.
It's defense.
Well, we're up in the air on quarterbacks. We're up in the air on quarterbacks, and we're up in the air on offensive line. Those are the two positions where there was some question marks.
I don't know if it's as deep as you think.
Okay, let's start with defensive ends and Leos. Tyson Alualu. That's a big question.
That's right? A big question mark. That is a real question. Red Bryant's going to be your starter.
Okay, Red Bryant. That's one.
Ziggy Hood's going to be your three technique. Him and
we'll get to defensive Kendrick. Tackles.
But Ziggy Hood can also play that big defensive end.
He can play that big defensive end. Yes. That's why there could be a question mark about Tyson.
Okay,
because Ziggy has flexibility to go out there.
And so if you're looking at – because you have to remember you're also looking at your game day actives when you're building this of who you're going to have active. So, Sendarek – let's say Sendarek's your starter and Red's your starter and Roy's your starter and Chris Clemens are your starter. What Ziggy Hood does in the rotation, he can come in for a series, spell Sendarek. Sendarek goes back in. He can go another series, spell Red. And so you have a nice rotation there because you have one guy who can fill two spots on game day.
All right. So, Andre Branch.
He's going to make it. I mean, he's a great offseason.
Okay. Branch makes it. Red Bryant makes it. Chris Clemens makes it. Ryan Davis.
He's going to have a good camp.
Ryan Davis is a lock.
That's
really
four.
A lock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gerald Rivers.
Positional flexibility. Can kick down in the three technique. Right. Can play the Leo. Can play the strong side. He's got.
I don't know if he's big enough to play the strong side, but he can play the three.
He could.
Technique.
He's not like he couldn't play what Red Bryant plays. On a down and down in and down out basis, but he could do that if he had to in a pinch.
But he's also a three technique in the nickel package.
That's right.
Chris Smith, rookie draft pick, Arkansas.
That's a question mark. I don't believe he's a lock. Now, being a draft pick, that obviously helps his cause.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he is
maybe right now.
He's not a true Leo. I think he's more of a strong side defensive end and a true 3-4 or true 4-3, not what the style
of end defense,
play that they do in this defense where Red Bryant plays. A little different.
So right now it's four defensive ends for sure. Alualu is a question mark. Smith is a question mark. At tackles, of course, Ziggy Hood's on. Marks is on. Avery Jones.
Question mark.
Question mark. Jordan Miller.
No.
Roy Miller.
Lock.
Yes. So that is seven. Seven for sure. Seven for sure. Then Alualu would be eight. Chris Smith would be nine. You got to have another tackle
That's
somewhere.
What I'm
DeAndre
saying.
Coleman or Ricky Havili Haimul? Rookie guys?
DeAndre Coleman has extreme physical talent. But the question that I have about him is when you have extreme physical talent, how do you go undrafted? So there's something that's not right. And I'm not saying that it can't be right. I'm just saying that something was not right on him coming out.
I think Coleman or Jones make it.
Avery Jones or Coleman. Okay. All right. So we're keeping 10 defensive linemen?
No.
Whoa.
No.
We're going to keep nine.
We're keeping nine defensive linemen. Okay.
So that's seven. I'm saying I think one of those guys makes it. Right?
Yeah. Somebody's got to make it. Let's see. Branch, Bryant, Clemens, Davis, Marks, Miller, Hood.
How many is that? That's seven?
That's seven for sure. Alualu.
But maybe it's Alualu and Smith then.
Chris Smith, that's eight or nine.
It could be Tyson. It could be Chris Smith. It could be Avery Jones. And it could be Chris Smith. Very interesting conversation.
So nine. We have nine?
You're 9 D linemen.
Okay, nine's in. Linebackers. Posluszny, yes.
Lock.
Dakota Watson.
Lock.
Is he healthy? Yes. Geno Hayes.
Lock.
Leroy Reynolds.
Lock.
The rest up in the air, right? Telvin Smith.
Lock.
That's five. John Latul. You want to keep five?
Is that five?
That's
no,
five.
No, you're keep more than five.
That's five, right?
That's five.
Don't you have to keep six?
You have to.
They didn't have
special teams.
They didn't have a reason to keep six in the past.
Special teams, Reynolds.
There wasn't any talent at the linebacker position. It's more talented now. if they go six, Lotulelei, I think, is your sixth guy.
Yeah, because of the special teams.
But who would you rather have if you're keeping five?
What about J.T. Thomas?
A Telvin Smith or a Lotulelei? Now, that could be the conversation. Is it J.T. Thomas or is it Lotulelei? Now, we're not talking about a starter.
No, special teams.
So it's got to be special teams. Who's got more speed? Who more special teams ability?
I'll take Telvin on the speed.
No, Telvin's
going to make the roster.
Talking about J.T. Thomas and Lotulelei.
Yes.
It's an interesting debate.
Don't forget Stupar, Marcus Whitfield, the other options there.
No.
Okay, they're the other options. That's all I'm saying. So you're going to keep six. We'll keep six for the sake of argument, including one of those two guys for special teams.
So we're at 15 on numbers.
So you have 10
right
DBs.
15, got 10 left. They're all DBs. At corner, Alan Ball. Yes, Lock. Will Blackman. Lock. Aaron Colvin's on IR. He won't count for this. Jamel Fleming.
He's on PUP.
He'll be on PUP.
Yes, that's what I meant.
And then after that point, then he'll have to make a decision.
I had the incorrect terminology. That's my fault.
I missed something.
Jamel Fleming, Dwayne Gratz.
Lock.
Gratz is a lock. Fleming is a question mark.
Jeremy Harris.
Question mark.
Mike Harris.
Question mark.
They love Demetrius McCray. He'll make it. Rashad Reynolds. Oregon State. Question mark. So that, four for sure. Ball, Blackman, Gratz,
McCray. Corners you're talking
about. Yes, corners.
I think one more make it.
Probably six corners.
Okay, we need two more corners then.
That's what I'm saying. Now, the question marks, probably two out of those question marks are going to make it.
Okay.
I think Jeremy Harris has got an opportunity.
Okay.
What's the free agent that they got?
Rookie?
Yeah.
Rashad Reynolds.
Rashad Reynolds has an opportunity from Oregon State. He's got an opportunity, I think, long term to be a starter in your nickel package. So he is going to – that's another question 2-3 years down the road. Can he be a guy? So I think he has an opportunity.
This leaves us room for four safeties, right? If I've done the math right.
Yeah, and you're not going to keep more than four.
Cyprian, yes.
Lock.
Josh Evans, how's the heel?
Question mark.
Yeah, question mark.
Because Winston Guy's making
But I expect him to make it, but I don't want to say a lock.
Winston Guy is a lock,
yes.
Tony. Jerome Jr.,
who?
Craig Lawson.
Jr., the guy that Jerome Jr., the guy who came for the rookie. He's one of the signed just for the weekend. They ended up keeping him.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Jerome Jr. Craig Lawson, LSU kid.
Question mark.
Sherrod Martin.
Question mark.
Chris Przinski.
Question mark.
Joe Young.
Question mark.
All question marks.
Three.
Yeah. Two for sure.
I think there's three. I think there's going to be three guys that I think are locks.
If Josh Evans is healthy, he's
Josh Evans, Cyprian, and Winston Guy.
That's three.
And then everybody else is going to be fighting for one spot. If Josh Evans is healthy. Now, that's always a question mark because he didn't participate much in the OTAs with the, I believe it was a toe.
It was spurs on his heel. Is what it was. Okay. Yeah,
I was in the same body part, foot.
Same area code.
Lower leg injury. Yes.
Same neighborhood.
Okay, that makes that puts us at 52, 53-ish with a couple of positions.
So we're done. We don't even have to have camp.
Hey, let's just tee it up. Week one, right around the corner.
Well, I mean, those are all opinions based on no pads
and no one getting hurt during training camp.
And there's no injuries. So,
this
I mean,
is July 3rd estimation. Right. This is all this is.
So it's very, very interesting debate. But I think, you know, with that debate, you could almost say this conversation and then re-listen to it again prior to the opening of training camp and kind of get a what to look for kind of as training camp starts and the pads go on. You know, because a lot of these guys are question marks because you got to see them in pads.
Before we go to a break, let's go to the phone lines tonight. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Mary and Mandarin wants to talk about Cecil Shorts III. Mary, good evening.
Good evening. Oh. I just was wondering of course we don't really know how he's doing, but I'm just wondering how he's recovering, if we know how he'll be doing. And I just love him and hoping he'll be the best, but I'm wondering I hear or read things about injury prone, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I don't know if anybody is injury prone, so to speak. I mean, Fred Taylor had that label, and all of a sudden, once he got towards the back end of his career, he was as durable of a running back as there was in the National Football League. You know, some guys have streaks of bad luck. They're overly cautious in OTAs and minicamps. So I don't want to read too much into he's injury prone because he missed time in the OTA. So if you look at the wide receiver position group as a whole, who's the one guy that has experience and has been there, done that? Cecil. If the one guy that you have has a soft tissue injury, what are you going to do?
Sit him.
Yep. You know, because the young guys are, you know that when Cecil comes to work, he's going to do his work. And when it comes time to training camp, nobody's going to practice harder than him. So I think that, you know, with that, to take a little relaxation pill on it and don't make too much of it yet.
He's missed 11 games in three seasons because of injuries. But
yeah, some of those misses were end of the season. Let's not, we're not going to get to the playoffs here.
Well, one time was a concussion. I mean, that's not, you have no control over that.
Exactly. So he's healthy. He's 100%, he says. He's been running, as close to 100% as he can get. He'll be ready, and I'm sure he's going to go back to Minnesota to work out with Larry Fitzgerald and that whole crew.
What I like best about Cecil, his work ethic, his coachability, both of those areas are impeccable.
He's a pro.
And if you've got a young room with the best wide receivers coach in the game of football leading the room, what better example to have as your veteran leader than Cecil Shorts for a very young room?
Thanks for the call, Mary and Mandarin. Now you have a chance to build your own Jaguars 3-game ticket pack. Select either the Giants or Steelers game and then choose any other two preseason or regular season home games. Call the Jags ticket office, 633-2000, or visit jaguars.com and click the ticket tab. When we return, a look around the National Football League and the AFC South. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
We're back. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Let's look around the National Football League. It is Suspension Thursday in the NFL today. And it started this afternoon when the league announced three separate suspensions. This is a PR textbook move to do it in an afternoon right before a holiday weekend. Chiefs offensive lineman Rokavius Watkins, 4 games for substance abuse. The defensive end for the Dolphins, Deion Jordan, 3rd overall pick last year, 4 games for PEDs. And Colts wide receiver Levon Brazil suspended at least a year for substances of abuse, all announced this afternoon.
But you know what the league did not take into account, JP, is that Jaguars Thursday would be talking about it. They should have waited until after our show.
Friday.
That's correct.
A holiday announcement.
Just a couple notes here. Levon Brazil, your suspension for drugs of abuse, that means that's not his first run-in.
Minimum
with the league.
A year. He has asked for reinstatement.
That's correct. So he's had a few run-ins. If I remember correctly, that would be at least number two, maybe number three.
I think it's three.
If it's a year.
It's a year.
And Deion Jordan, PEDs, a lot of people, what is a PED? Performance Enhancing Drug. It's an acronym. Because, I mean, some people don't know.
It's either a steroid or a stimulant.
Stimulant.
He claimed stimulant is what he said
today. Well, I'd say the same thing.
He came back about 20 pounds bigger.
If I was taking, a steroid, I mean, that's a proper, save your rear end face, kind of statement.
Miami Herald reported at minicamp that he weighed in at 265.
But
at
the combine,
he was at 248 at the combine.
He was 245 with a 10-pound, dumbbell in his shorts. He was.
He made Jason Taylor look big.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. But no, he made Jason Taylor look real big when he was
at
the combine. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's move along to the Bay Area, and this is really kind of constantly changing news in Oakland. And today, remember last week we talked about it, Jeff, that the Oakland A's had announced a 10-year lease agreement for the O.co Coliseum, but then Oakland officials said they were going to try to vote against it.
Pending approval from city council.
But Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig gave the team permission to immediately seek a new home, saying that political maneuvering had blindsided the A's and jeopardized the lease deal the team had agreed to. Well, then Oakland officials dropped their opposition today, this afternoon.
Yeah, the lease is signed.
It's a 10-year lease signed by the A's. Not great news for the future of football in Oakland.
Why would anybody want a lease at O.co Stadium, Coliseum, whatever it is? Place is a dump. I mean,
where else are they going to go?
I mean, I don't know. It's a good. I mean, first of all, the Raiders need to be in L.A.
There's already too many baseball teams, and what city are you going to go to where you're going to draw anybody?
Yeah, the Oakland A's. You know, I kind of like
too many baseball teams, Tony.
Oh yeah,
never. No, you got to have baseball everywhere.
So we got minor leagues everywhere. I mean, no, but seriously, I mean, baseball struggles to draw. I mean, you're the baseball guy.
It depends on your definition of struggle. I mean, you want 70,000 people in a seat every single night?
Every time I turn on the TV, unless it's St. Louis or San Francisco or Colorado Cubs, it's like I see a lot of empty seats is all I'm saying. I'm not an expert on it, but
– you know what? Horse racing's dead too.
That's the only stadium
– Wait, we're comparing horse racing and baseball, Jimmy.
Anyway, go ahead.
Only stadium in the National Football League that where you don't want to touch anything in the stadium. I mean, walls. Yeah.
Remember you had a shower?
Don't eat
the shower there?
We didn't have a shower.
It was cold.
You remember that?
Cold water.
No, we didn't have showers the one year.
There was no water. That's right.
That was the game, and I remember it very distinctly because there's a pretty nasty story to this, and that I had, I think it was Steve Wisniewski threw Don Davey into my knee, tore my MCL. I went to the locker room early. They said, you're done. Go ahead and shower. Well, I was the only one that showered. That was the time that the showers broke. So I'm on the plane, and I'm feeling
– it was a long plane ride home.
Bad because I got a bad knee, but at least I feel clean because I was the only one that was able to get a shower. So we fly all the way back. I get back home. I unpack my bag. And inside my carry-on bag, because of a joke by the equipment guy, is Leon Searcy's game-worn jock.
That was nice.
So as soon as I unzipped it, it was like, oh, my gosh.
What died?
What is that smell? So that led to some serious retaliation, and the equipment guy learned very quickly that shrimp don't smell very good after about 3 days. His office was
ripe.
Yeah. He got a little treat.
Our memories of Oakland. We move on to Buffalo, New York. The Toronto Sun reporting that the trust in charge of selling the Bills has released the sale book to potential buyers that includes – all the financial details of the business.
How much are they asking?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they've – there was no figure that I saw today. Commissioner Goodell had
they're
approval of that
book. As
much
as they can get.
Which I would bet close to $1 billion is my guess.
Well, I mean, the Clippers just sold for $2 billion.
It has to be.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an NFL
franchise.
Something's
up with that.
So there's no expectation to hear officially the names involved, the potential buyers, but since the death of Wilson in late March – some that have publicly expressed interest include Donald Trump, Tom Golisano.
Oh,
he's the former Sabres owner.
Do we
owner.
Have to mention his name?
Why not?
And
he'd be also, a good owner.
He's a moron.
There's also a Toronto-based group, including John Bon Jovi and Larry Tannenbaum, who's the chairman of Maple Leaf Sports. So those are only a few that have come out that publicly that say they have, quote-unquote, interest in this.
That guy that's on TV that, you know, is interested, says he's interested in buying the Bills, is interested in one thing. And that's publicity. I mean, come on.
He's also interested in running for president, I guess, too, right? Aren't we all? Let's move to New Orleans. Jimmy Graham.
I'm not.
You're not, Tony?
No. I'll take my name out of the hat right now.
You're not going to be in politics, Tony?
No.
I thought you was a politician, man. No?
JP, that's your job.
Let's go to New Orleans.
Let's do it.
Where they love politics in Louisiana. Jimmy Graham ruled a tight end by an arbitrator. $5.3 million difference from being tagged as a wide receiver. But my question, guys, are the Saints now in a little bit of issue with their players on their roster? Do they have negotiation issues? Is this a trend for them?
Just get rid of the tag process and let guys go to free agency. I mean, really.
I agree.
I mean, is Jimmy Graham really worth only $5.3 million? No. I mean, and I'm not saying that he's worth $12 or $13 million, but you know what? He might be. He might be in a free system.
Best tight end in football.
I mean, without a doubt, the best receiving tight end in football, most dynamic tight end.
And I thought he got a raw deal because the reality is 70% of the time he lines up as a slot receiver or a wideout. I mean, he doesn't line up the majority of his time. I don't care what you call him. If you line up, that's like me being a left tackle going into free agency, but I filled in at guard for, you know, 30 snaps and they want to call me a guard. I mean, he's a wide receiver. He lines up at the wide receiver position the majority of the snaps. How it makes no sense.
But see, I just have an issue with the tagging process. I mean, why should one or two guys on an entire roster be restricted, but yet the rest of them can't be? I mean, I just don't understand that. I mean, I understand
You're a union guy.
Yeah, come on.
It's your fault.
Union rep.
You're
the rep.
I'm a union guy, you know, but I'm also a league guy. In that, why? What's the purpose of it? I mean, why not let – I mean, the Saints can still compete if there was no tag with any other franchise and would have the first right of offering him a contract. So, to me, that really is an advantage to the team that he's at currently.
You know what the NFL should have? Remember, I don't know if the NBA still has it, but the old Larry Bird rule, basically you can offer more money than anyone else to keep a guy. They have, like, cap exceptions for if you want to keep a guy and you drafted him, you should be able to keep him.
I agree with that. You know, go above the cap.
Just I don't think the owners would like
just,
that.
Just lose the tag.
We'll come back in a moment and go around the AFC South, wrap up Jaguars Thursday as well. Put your group together for the best game day experience in the National Football League right here at Everbank Field. Enjoy all-inclusive VIP access to the new North End Zone platform. The upper cabanas are sold for the season, we heard Mark Lamping say last week, but pool cabanas are still available. Fieldside seating, other areas also available. Visit jaguars.com/groups for more information. A look around the AFC South. And what's coming up next week around the organization? Maybe some holiday plans, too. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday, the Jaguars Women's Club, presented by Steinmart and Culligan, created with a female Jaguars fan in mind. Members receive VIP treatments that include custom membership kits, exclusive opportunities, and much, much more. For more information, visit jaguars.com/womensclub. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Let's go through the AFC South. ESPN.com had a summer question for each AFC South beat writer today on their website. We start off in Houston, where our good friend Tanya Ganguly is the beat writer. And the question was about Bill O'Brien's style and will it play in Houston. The thoughts were he would be a Belichick clone, but Ganguly says they're pretty much gone. He's demanding but fair. He answers questions, cracks some jokes at press conferences.
He's got personality.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's totally opposite of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is very dry, and so when he actually makes something that's even somewhat close to funny, people think it's comical because he's so dry the rest of the time. You know, but I like Bill O'Brien. I like his style. Anybody that did what he did at Penn State will be successful no matter where they go, provided they get the players.
We move on to Indianapolis. Mike Wells is the writer for ESPN.com covering the Colts. The question was, has the Colts offensive line improved enough to get Andrew Luck more time to get to his weapons? He was sacked 73 times in the last 2 years. They've got some new faces there on the interior. That's the question mark there. It's either Donald Thomas or Jack Muhort at left guard. Khalid Holmes, 12 snaps last year as a rookie. He's the center. Hugh Thornton was a rookie last year, started 14 games. Those are really the questions on the interior. Have they improved enough on the line, Tony?
I think Hugh Thornton's a pretty good player. I thought he was decent. Khalid Holmes came out of SC. He's, you know, they're hoping he can be the center they drafted. Don't know much about the other guy. Listen, I don't think their offensive line is very good. They're average at best, but Andrew Luck makes them better than they are because of his ability to move in the pocket.
Yeah. I mean, if they get a little bit better, it's going to make it look a lot better because of his ability to move.
That's right.
Tennessee Titans, Paul Kaharsky is the beat writer for ESPN.com in Nashville. The Titans have about $25 million in cap room. What do they plan to do with it was the question. They've already talked to Jarrell Casey about an extension. They'll have some financial freedom to make a big move that will give the Titans a chance to steer a draft towards a quarterback if Locker doesn't work out or if they feel Mettenberger is not the guy. Do you agree with that strategy?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you got to sign Jarrell Casey.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Might be the best defensive tackle in football. I mean, the guy's tremendous. Now, what they have to do with that money is not spend $7 and $8 million a year on guards and then turn around and draft one in the first round. I mean, they got to get playmakers. I mean, and I hope they don't. I hope they just kind of keep along the same path that they've been going. But their biggest question mark is quarterback. I'm not a believer in Locker.
I agree. I mean, listen, you got to spend the money wisely. And until they find the guy who can pull the trigger, they're going to just struggle and be average.
Finally, the question for Jacksonville writer Mike DiRocco was, the Jags have said that Bortles will sit the season. We'll learn from Henny, is that the right decision? And, of course, DiRocco writes that, for now, that is the correct decision, which I don't know if...
I think we all agree. You know, I think it is the right decision.
Yeah.
No, I think you go with Henny.
But you think he'll play?
I think he's going to get... He'll play. He'll have snaps this year at some point.
I think DiRock, also known as DiRock, Mike DiRocco,
that's right,
is right in that the best decision that was made was to say that he's not going to play this year.
I agree.
Because I don't know if that was truly what your intention was by saying that. I think you say that so that you can take the pressure off of a young quarterback on feeling that he has to get better immediately and allow him to develop without pressure or anxiety.
But you think he's going to – I mean, you agree with me. He's going to get snaps this year.
Maybe, if he earns it.
Yeah, I think he will.
Coming up this week for Jaguars season ticket holders, Thursday, July 10th, 6 to 8:30 here at Everbank Field. The Jags 365 program continues. For the folks who chose the Fanatical Fan Program, the locker room tour, that's coming up next Thursday. The last Fanatical Fan event, the practice field session, will be rescheduled. No date for that yet. It was wiped out due to rain. Call the Jags ticket office, 633-2000, for more information. 4th of July plans, guys. What do you got? I know, Tony, you got a big bash coming.
Gosh.
You're looking forward to tonight. You're getting ready for tomorrow. I know.
My wife decided to buy one of these inflatables, but she waited to, or rent one, but she waited too long to do it. So we had to pick it up, and I got to set it up tonight. And it's she had to get the biggest one they had.
Why not?
And I have no idea how I'm going to set it up. I have no idea I'm going to get in the backyard, and no idea.
What happened to the good old days of a garden hose and a sprinkler and some plastic tarp?
That's what I like.
You know?
That's what we did. I mean, we got a pool. Isn't that enough? And we got a pool.
How about the pond out back?
When was the pool not good enough?
Well, I mean, we've come to a point where I got to go get this inflatable.
You should have just got one of them inflatable kiddie pools.
You got a pond, too. Pond would be good for you.
I have no say on what happens. I'm like the hired help that gets to set it up.
Enjoy the 4th, guys.
Happy 4th.
Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, J.P. Shadrick.
Happy
thanks
birthday,
to Ryan Bonifant
America.
Back in the studio. Joe Fortunato as well. Thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.